the Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by the dual threat ESPN NFL analyst, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, Tim Hasselbeck. Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you acknowledging my dual threatness.
Yes. Well, we discussed this last time, so I'm making sure that we live up to our end of the bargain. So, Tim, we were just talking about L'Jarius Sneed. Brian Callahan said not too long ago that Sneed is still rehabbing from both his pre-existing knee injury and the quad injury he suffered early last season that kept him out of two-thirds of the year. How much should we temper our expectations that L'Jarius Sneed can be a meaningful contributor to this Titans team this coming season?
Yeah, I mean, look, you get an injury and then you're still slow to come back. You know, sometimes when you get updates on people's health in May, you know, that are not super encouraging, you know, sometimes it's bracing for impact, right? I mean, just think of the Derek Carr situation, right? Like, you know, you hear some news like, oh, no, his shoulder is bothering him and it's not really coming back because of something that happened. And then, you know, a month or two later, it's, you know, Derek Carr is retired. So I don't think it's usually a good sign when you're getting a medical update that's not promising in May, because typically speaking, you know, I think teams would say, you know, look, you know, our guys are on schedule with the rehab and, we'll see what they're like in terms of if they're limited participants and stuff like that. So, I don't think it's an encouraging update, I guess, I would put it there. And then, so, you know, what would you have the expectations be? Look, you know, for a 28-year-old, I would, I'd be hopeful, but, maybe not super encouraged.
Yesterday, Tim, we spent a lot of time talking about the benefits of young athletes playing multiple sports. We talked about Cam Ward specifically and how it could help him in the long run. You're an ex-quarterback. You're currently a coach. How important is it for quarterbacks specifically to have a multi-sport background in order to be successful at the highest level?
Look, I think it's really important. I think I only know of one person. I'm not going to say his name. He didn't end up being a very good pro. I think I only know one person who basically was like just a quarterback. Wasn't doing other stuff in terms of basketball, baseball, you know, whatever it may be. So I do think it's really important. I think there's an element of, you know, flexing the competition muscle, right? So like if you only, if you only play football, you're going to play, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 games and that's it. So like you're not, you know, you don't have an at bat, you're not on the wrestling mat, you're not playing in a basketball game. I don't think that that's healthy, you know, or conducive to, you know, to playing quarterback. I'll give you an example. So my son was at Elite 11 competition out at State College over the weekend. He's a baseball player. And he's been playing baseball. And, you know, part of the conversation, you know, with the guys that are, you know, running the Elite 11 stuff, they said there's never been a quarterback that has regraded, so been 19 when he graduates high school, that's gotten drafted. And I thought, wow, like, isn't that something? And that, and I saw an article, you know, recently, basically about that, of, you know, some of these reclassified, regraded high school athletes, you know, maybe become good college players because they're, you know, a year older, you're more mature, that type of thing, but it doesn't translate into your path to the National Football League. And so, like, I do think there are things like that, like playing multiple sports, like, you know, again, flexing that competition muscle, that are important for guys' development, you know, in terms of, you know, what their full potential is. So, I think that, and I think time on task, I've mentioned it to you before, you guys before, like for Cam Ward to leave college with, you know, nearly, you know, 2,400 pass attempts leaving college. I think that's an important factor and a big deal.
Tim, that is a fascinating point about the reclassifying, because I do feel like a lot of families do that. What, even if it's not your junior year in high school, it may be a little bit earlier where you're thinking ahead and saying, boy, if he's a little bit older, this could be good. And that's great data, because I do think it all evens out over time. It is interesting, but because baseball, that's a big thing too. Like, hey, if he reclassifies, he's going to be a five-star next year, you know, instead of right now, he's too young and they're not watching him. But, Tim, as a high school coach, you've got the philosophy. You played a lot of sports. We just talked about playing more than one sport, how valuable it is, but you're also aware that you can get pulled in the direction of, hey, we've got fall baseball. You know, fall baseball wasn't a thing when I was growing up, and I grew up in – I was a teenager in Florida. We didn't – but I would never thought of playing fall baseball. But now it's – you're almost expected if you're playing travel ball that you're going to play in the fall.
Yeah, and well, I'll just give you an example. And here's the thing. So in the last three drafts, so to put a ball on that other point, players who turned 18 after April 1st of their senior year of high school were four times more likely to be an early round draft pick than those who turned 18 as a junior. Four times more likely. Okay, so like that's a data point on that. And then to your point about playing multiple sports and, you know, getting pulled in different directions and all of that stuff, I can, you know, and look, I'm not trying to sound like some authority on this or anything like that. Like, I'm a dad just like you are, and just, you know, like other probably some listeners of, you know, hey, like, what do we do with our kids? My daughter is a scholarship lacrosse player at Vanderbilt, okay? She played volleyball in high school, and I thought it was important for her to not just play one sport. I thought it was important for her to have a different role on a different team, and I thought it was important, and I think it helped her athletic development. You know, my son is going to go be a college quarterback. He still is playing baseball. Is there risk associated? Yeah, he got hit, you know, by a pitch the other day, hit his right thumb. We thought he broke his thumb. It was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you know, but like the benefits outweigh the risks. You know, I can just tell you how I talk to coaches when they come to recruit our students, for me to say, look, this guy's a three sport varsity athlete at our school. Like, that's rare. It's remarkable. And like, and so when he becomes full-time football and he becomes full-time in the weight room, the upside is going to be very different than somebody that you're recruiting who has decided to, I'm only going to play football. I'm just, it's a conversation that I actually had with a Power Four school this morning on a kid.
That's so great. So
some coaches, I don't know what they're telling kids. I think some programs make it impossible to do both and all of that stuff. That is not how, you know, that's not how I've parented. It's not how I coach, because look, I was a football, basketball, baseball guy, and it definitely helped me become a better football player.
Now, Tim, is that are those questions that that recruiters are still asking? You know, are this athlete, does he play multiple sports, and how good is he in multiple sports? Because obviously they're just looking at him on the football field. But when they come to your office, is that one of the leading questions? Like, hey, does he play, you know, does he wrestle? Does he play basketball? What else does he do?
Yeah, it's always one of the very first questions. Mm-hmm. You know, you get questions about, you know, somebody's grade, can we get their transcript? That, you know, that one, you know, probably isn't talked about enough. That's a huge factor. But yeah, like, look, we have guys that go to our, you know, coaches will say, oh, there's a basketball game tonight. Like, I'm going to come back. I want to see him play basketball. There's a baseball game this afternoon. I'm going to come back. I want to see him play baseball. If he runs track, what are his track times? Everybody always asks, what other sport does he play? What other sports does he play? Every school asks about all the kids. You know, does he wrestle? So, like, you know, it's wild to me. And I will tell you, look, I think there are some places that, like, make it impossible. Right?
That's what I was going to ask, because you're new as the high school coach. So you had, I'm sure, build relationships with the other Ensworth coaches and say, okay, let's talk through, because it's very important, right? While one guy's out of season, that, you know, there, I think there's probably some self-serving football coaches like, hey, I don't know. If you miss spring practice, I don't know if you're going to be, if your job's going to be. But you've got to work with the other coaches, and you've got to emphasize to the kid that you're going to be all right.
Yeah, you do. And some schools have enough kids that they're okay to say, oh, you want to play summer travel baseball, we're going to have these workouts that are quote-unquote voluntary, and if you don't make them, then, you know, then that's going to hurt your ability to play on our football team. Like, I know for a fact that – I mean, I've
we had two kids on my son's travel team that missed the big tournament at the end of the summer, mm-hmm. the biggest one that we've been working towards, because the football coach would not let the kids – two kids miss the first day
mm-hmm. Correct.
Of fall practice. The first day. Yeah. They would miss one day. Nope.
Yeah.
So they bailed really on the baseball team at the end of the summer.
I will say to you, and I know that it goes on in the schools, like, again, I'm not trying – I'm new to this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, say it, but, like, shame on these coaches, man. Like, these are kids that are teenagers that, like, they don't know if they're going to be better at football or baseball. Like, shame on the coaches for not working out. I'll just give you an example. At our own school, we have a kid that is a fantastic athlete. He was on the golf team last year. Golf is a fall sport, but he'd love to play football. And I said, but he's a really good golfer. I said, you know what, man? You finish your golf season. Do what you got to do in golf. And then when that's done, like, come see us. And sure enough, when his golf season ended on October 7th or whatever, we got him heat acclimated and all the stuff that you need to do. And then and he, as soon as he was available, whatever it was, 10 days later, he played in a football game for our high school. Like, and I'm good with that. Like, and I'm good with the kids that have, I know their summer baseball schedule. Like, that's just how, look, I don't know. Look, and listen, maybe we won't win as many games because of it, but to me, it's worth that trade.
Now, we haven't spoken with you, Tim, since Brock Purdy signed his deal. What do you think of it? Because to me, I think San Francisco missed that window to take advantage of while he still was on his rookie contract, yeah. And now they have to fork over a lot of money, and the team is not going to look the same moving forward.
Yeah, so, I mean, here's what I'd say. Yeah, you missed the rookie contract. Like, that's a problem. But what I would say is I think he deserves to get paid, too.
Oh, right? Absolutely. So, like, absolutely.
You know, and that's my thing. It's like, you know, I'm never going to feel bad for a team that was – you know, paying a guy, you know, 800 grand a year to be the leader of $1 billion organization. You know what I mean? Like Dak Prescott is like making 850 grand, you know, playing quarterback as a fourth round draft pick for the Cowboys. Like I'm not going to feel bad for them when they got to pay him 50 million a year. Right. Like, mm-hmm. So same drill was happening in Washington with Kirk Cousins. So, like, you know, yeah, did they miss the window? Probably so. Probably because of the injury, and I guess mm-hmm. it would have been the NFC Championship game. But, you know, all these other places are still good that are paying their quarterbacks a lot of money. And so, you know, beat the market at other positions. Do other things because, you know, like what would you rather have? Would you rather have a quarterback that's not worth getting paid that much, that can't play?
Oh, no, I want to be able to have the ability to pay him that much. That means we're a good team, more than likely.
So I think that's what I would say, you know. And you know, it's funny to me. I was having a conversation with somebody, you know, getting ready for NFL Live yesterday and saying, all right, well, do you think, like, there are some people that would argue, like, hey, Brock Purdy's not worth it, but – like, they would be okay with whatever the deal Justin Fields signed, or, you know what I mean? Or it's like, wait a second. Like, and you know this, D-May, sometimes the way you come into the league, man, that you can't ever shake that.
Oh, no, like, you can't.
And it's wild because we all know that people get the draft wrong. And we all know that some guys just, it's like, well, if you could redraft, you would have been a first rounder, right? Like, when did you get taken?
Fourth.
Okay. So, and you know, how many catches do you have in your career? You had over 1,000 catches. Like, how many catches do you have in your career?
Close to 1,000.
Okay, so you got 1,000 catches in your career. How many of the guys drafted in front of you?
None of them. None of them. Yardage, touchdowns, catches, years played, The closest person is Ike Hilliard, but nobody
yeah,
else.
So
best believe I know that.
I think that list is actually tattooed on his arm somewhere.
No, I've got it right here. But like, if you could redraft it, everyone would redraft it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, but you probably felt it every time your deal was up. Be like, all right, guys, like I get it. I was a fourth rounder, but like my production is my production. So yeah, like, so I actually, I'm saying all that to say good for the Niners to not do what Washington did with Kirk Cousins, because they had been better off just signing him once they knew he could play. You know, good for the Niners that they didn't do what the Cowboys did with Dak Prescott, because they dragged their feet, and by doing that, you know, they've painted
they had to play him more. Yeah.
Well, and look what they've done. They're now painted into a corner on that. Mm-hmm. So, right. You know, good on the Niners, because in 6 years, when Purdy's still their starter, it's going to look like a very inexpensive deal.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Great stuff as always, Tim. We'll chat next week.
Okay, hey, I'm jumping on with Ike Hilliard now.
You got a shot? Okay.
Tell him Derek said hello, please.
Tell all of them I said hello. All
right. All right. You Thank you, Tim. 615-737-1025. We've had some reaction to the Legarius Sneed news, and we will get to that coming up next. If you have reaction, call us, text us. 615-737-1025. Tune in to the Indy 500 race on 1025 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 10 a.m. and is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29 Degree Beer.